Welcome to the podcast series for HAP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today, we'll discuss the article by Lucidi et al. Titled, Chloride Intracellular Channel 4 is Required for Maturation of the Cerebral Collateral Circulation. This article published October 1st, 2015. Joining me today are guest editor Akos Kohler, first author Jennifer Lucidi, and content expert Mordecai Blaustein. Let's get started.
I would like to welcome all of you and start to discuss this very interesting paper, which was selected for podcast in AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. In brief, this study deals with the pre- and postnatal development of vascular arterial networks in the brain, which could be very important in the resistance to stroke, which is known to be a devastating disease affecting a great number of people in the United States and worldwide. Now, I would like to ask Dr. Lucidi, please tell us about the rationale for this study, perhaps starting with the relevance to physiology and also human diseases.
Hi, Akos. Before I start, I would like to thank AJP for the opportunity to discuss my research. And I'd like to thank also the other authors of this paper, Jim Faber and Natalie Tart, who is an undergraduate in our laboratory. First of all, let me start by defining what collateral arterioles are. Collaterals are arterial-to-arterial anastomoses that cross-connect two opposing arterial trees. They are found in the pial meninges of the brain, peripheral skeletal muscle, and also within the coronary vasculature. They don't appear to have a function in healthy adult animals or people, but they become critically important in the event of a blockage, such as a stroke. If an individual has an abundant number of collaterals, blood flow can reroute around this obstruction and can be recruited from the opposing arterial tree, and that results in a small infarct volume. If the individual has few collaterals, blood flow cannot be easily recruited from the opposing tree, and therefore a larger ischemic volume occurs. So evidence suggests that there's a large variation in collateral number and diameter in both the human population and in the mouse population.
So thank you very much, Jennifer. It was very clear why is it so important to study these questions. And especially if somebody can read the paper, can see the beautiful pictures about the vascular network in the brain. My question is now is that why is it important to study this issue pre- and postnatal?
We have found that although collaterals become most important in the event of a stroke or a blockage, which usually occurs later in life, we found previously that collaterals actually form during embryogenesis. And we'd found that the collaterals, for the most part, that form during embryogenesis are the collaterals that are present later in life. So in this paper, it was very important to determine whether or not CLIC4, the protein we were looking at, affected the process of collaterogenesis. And then also that the number of collaterals that were formed during this process were the number of collaterals that were present later in life.
Very good, very important. So what looks like then there is a genetic program which is time dependent, and perhaps these genetic programs drives the molecular mechanisms. Mordi, could you tell us something about these CLIC4 channels?
Since Jennifer's paper describes the involvement of CLIC4 in collateral formation, it's important to understand something about what the CLIC channels are. The family members are, by definition, anion channels. And while they exhibit chloride channel activity when expressed, for example, in bilayer membranes or even in the plasma membrane, CLIC4 has only weak chloride channel activity. Most importantly, it can also act as a signal transducer. And it's best known, in fact, for being overexpressed in certain types of tumors. Now, under stress conditions, CLIC4 is translocated to the nucleus where it enhances TGF-beta signaling. And that, in turn, regulates VEGF.
Thank you very much, Mordi. And then I would like to ask Jennifer to tell us about the connection between the CLIC4 protein and VEGF-A molecules. What is the relationship between them? Which is regulated first?
That is a very good question. I'd like to add that CLIC4, initially, it was studied in endothelial cells, and it was found that CLIC4 deletion in endothelial cells in vitro prevented proliferation, it prevented vacuole formation, and it prevented some of the steps of angiogenesis. And from some of those studies, and then subsequent studies in vivo in the retina, there was a link that was established between CLIC4 and angiogenesis. And some early studies showed a relationship between CLIC4 and VEGF-A expression.
Now, that you could restore in a CLIC4 knockout animal the collateralization by VEGF-A, what does that mean?
Well, we had shown previously that VEGF-A has an important role in collateral development during a very narrow window of time during development in mice from embryonic day 14.5 to approximately 18.5. We found in the CLIC4 knockout mice that they did not have any change in collateralogenesis. So the number of collaterals at the end of development were the same in both the CLIC4 knockout mice and their wild-type littermates. We did notice that the CLIC4 knockout mice lost 50% of their collaterals within the first 7 days of life. So we also found that when we overexpressed VEGF-A in those same mice, they did not lose those collaterals. And in fact, they maintained those collaterals, and those collaterals were functional later in life. When we gave the mice stroke or performed middle cerebral artery occlusion later in life, the mice that were CLIC4 deficient had large infarct volumes. But the mice that were CLIC4 deficient but overexpressed VEGF-A had much smaller infarct volumes, basically the same infarct as the wild-type mice.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. So, Mordi, the paper also talks about the ADAM and the platelet-derived growth factor. What is your opinion about that?
Well, it seems to me that the CLIC4 is an upstream signal transducer that then triggers a number of factors. Certainly TGF-beta and then VEGF-A may well affect platelet-derived growth factor in ADAM. So, but the mechanisms really are not well understood.
Thank you very much. And many previous publications, especially in vitro on tissue culture, studied the effect of mechanical forces such as pressure and shear stress on the angiogenesis. Do you think, Jennifer, that these forces have roles in the collateral development?
Undoubtedly they do. When one compares collateral arterioles to a neighboring, what we call a distalmost arteriole, one of the most striking differences is the pattern of blood flow. In a distalmost arteriole, blood flow is unidirectional. It flows from the larger artery through the arteriole and then down through the capillary bed. In collateral arteries, because they cross-connect two opposing arterial beds, they do not experience a pressure differential. Also, we've shown that they have an oscillatory flow, where blood basically flows slightly back and forth. So they have very, very different mechanical properties, and they're exposed to very different types of fluid mechanics than a regular arteriole is. And that likely results in very different endothelial properties and probably endothelial cell signaling cascades.
Thank you very much. Now, I would like to ask Mordi if you have anything to say or some comments before we wrap up this discussion.
You know, it's been a very good discussion about a really interesting paper. And it seems to me the critical thing, as Jennifer has just mentioned, is elucidating the signaling pathway. What happens, how CLIC4 is involved in the angiogenesis and what the downstream mechanisms are. Therapeutically, is there a way to stabilize collateral so that one could do this early on or know things that would prevent pruning of collaterals and maintain their stability? That certainly could be a therapeutic approach.
Yes, that's true. We have found that collaterals prune during the aging process, and some individuals lose a number of the collaterals that they've had. We've also found that hypertension causes the pruning of collaterals, and there are probably a number of other factors that also cause pruning of collaterals later in life. So some of those factors also, for example, screening for hypertension and managing hypertension can help individuals maintain their collaterals. But then in the normal aging process, there's not much that we know right now that can prevent the loss. However, the more we know about the factors that are important for sustaining collaterals and sustaining endothelial smooth muscle cell relationships, we can perhaps turn that into a therapy to prevent the loss later in life.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. I think this paper was a great example how important are the small vessels, because they can cause the big problems for us. And I think that was very good for the issue of AJP heart and small vessels, big problems. I think we can thank all of you again for this great discussion, and we can give back Cara the microphone.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.